Good morning.
Good morning.
I hope you all had a nice weekend and enjoying this cooler weather today. We're going to be in chapter 7 in Romans, verse 7 through 25. What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Surely not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of coveting. For apart from the law, sin is dead. Once I was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. I found that very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. For sin seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment deceived me, and through the commandment put me to death. So then the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, righteous, and good. Did that which is good then became death to me? By no means. Nevertheless, in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it used what is good to bring about my death, so that through the commandment sin might become utterly sinful. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I do, I do not do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I, myself, who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find that the law at work, although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, warring against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivered me through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law. But in my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. When we look at the law, we see the reflection of God's character, the will of God for his children. The law shows us how we are to live, and it exposes our sin and just how far we have fallen short of the glory of God. Paul clarifies he doesn't believe the law to be sinful. Paul says God's law is holy and righteous. 613 laws are the basis of God's covenant with Israel, and it covers topics as rituals, custom, social justice, immorality. God's law helps his children to realize that they are sinners doomed to die. Yet the law offers no help, and the law is powerless to change us. Paul also declared that salvation can't be found by obeying the law. No matter who you are, it's impossible to keep all the laws. Even if you could, it wouldn't save you. Paul knows only Jesus Christ can save. Did you know going to church will not save you? Tithing will not save you. Being a preacher will not save you if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can do all the good works you want to do, but it's usually in your strength if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, even if you're teaching Sunday school. So I don't want to hear next week, Kathy Pastor said, you do not have to come to church, okay? It's not what I'm saying. I truly believe if you truly love the Lord, and if you're thankful for all he has done for you, you will be in church. You will tithe. You will help in church to serve in some way. And if God has called you and put on your heart to be a preacher, step out in faith and say, yes, Lord, I'll follow you. In obedience to his word is reason we come to church, we tithe, and we serve him. Okay, back to the message. That was something else. Who can say they've never broken the law? Or still don't break the law? Every day, as soon as I leave my house, within 30 seconds, I break two laws. I do. I refuse to put on my seatbelt until I think I need to. I see a cop. And I do a Hollywood stop at the corner of my house. Never complete stop. So automatically I can tell you there I need Jesus because I have a rebellious spirit about certain things. The law is to teach us how to live, to honor God and live in harmony with each other, and to protect us from sinning by obeying him. But the law can't change us. As a teenager, my parents had so many rules, regulations in the house. Though some of the rules were okay, and some of them I didn't think they were know what they were talking about. And I would see other kids doing these things that my mom, dad told me, do not do, or you're going to get in trouble. But it looked like fun. It was so much fun. They're laughing. They're having a great time. So I figured my parents just didn't want me to have fun. So I would do them. I would break the rules. And my only fear was, I hope I don't get caught and don't get punished. I didn't realize what my parents were doing. They were trying to keep us safe and some of the rules to be respectful kids to other people. I didn't realize that until I had children. And I started telling them the same thing. Don't play in the street. Be in at 12. Don't come in at late. I can remember, I tell my mom, you said, I had to be home, I had to be in by 12. Well, I left the party at 12 and told me 20 minutes to get home. I was bending the law. I was doing what I wanted to do, not what my parents wanted me to do. When Paul said, I do not do what I want to do, but what I do not want to do, I do. Paul was frustrated and confused that he couldn't stop messing up. It was upsetting. And it's upsetting to us too, because we say the same thing. We keep doing something over and over again, and we ask ourselves, well, why can't I stop? Why can't I stop? And it's a hard issue. Has anyone here experienced Paul's problem? What I want to do, I don't do, but what I don't want to do, I do. My prayer is that God would lead and guide me every day and use me wherever he wants. Make me a blessing to others, that they would see his love through me. That's my desire. But I went to the DMV the other day, and I've had it with DMV. And my thing is, when I go out, I try to be very polite and compassionate, loving. I open up doors to let people go through. People behind me only have to go ahead of me, you know, always smile and say, hi, how are you? I like that person God has created in me. Well, at the DMV. I went up to get my license. I had to get my driver's license. And it all happened, it all started about 3 years ago when I went down and I wanted the new license so I go into the prison, so I can get in the federal government and stuff like that. I go in there and I have my water bill, I have my PG&E bill. My old driver's license is still good at the time. I had everything they required. And when I got up there, they says, where's your marriage license? I says, why? They said, to make sure that your last name is Pinion. I said, the last 30 years you've been giving me a driver's license under the name Pinion. And now you're asking me if I'm a Pinion? They wouldn't give it to me. That's fine, just give me a regular one. And I left. Well, this month I had to go because it expired. I went back in and the lady says, oh, go home, it's going to be easy. Just go home, take the test. I had to take a written test for a test. Go home, go on the computer. You can take the test on the computer, and it's a no-fail test. Oh, okay. So I go home, and I take the test, and I didn't pass. I passed it, but they asked me to upload some documents. They wanted my passport, and I have a passport, and a PG&E bill, and this bill, and everything. I loaded up. They said, perfect. You have passed and cleared everything. Pay us $50-something and then go down tomorrow and take an eye test and get your picture and thumbprint. Good. So I go down there and I get in line. I go through all of this. I get up to the window and the lady looks at me and says, okay, I want to see some proof. I said, it's right there in your computer. See, I uploaded it for you. Passed everything. Yeah, but we need to see it in person. Well, why didn't the test say that? I would have brought it. In my mind, do you know what I was doing? I was grabbing that lady, jerking over the counter, and I wanted to tell her exactly what I thought. I mean, I just wanted to lay it out to her, right? But then the Spirit says, Kathy, that's not what you're supposed to do. She didn't make the rules. And I'm saying, I know, but she deserves it. Just let me say one thing. No. Okay, I'm not going. I says, okay, I'll come back tomorrow for the paperwork. I really, really wanted to step in the flesh because it's still within me. I wanted to. I had the right. She was wrong. I have rights. But God says you lay those rights down. And you don't do that, because then it wrecks your witness. Doesn't honor me. So I left. I complained to him, but I didn't do it. It took me a while to realize the flesh is not just what you can see and you can touch, but it encompasses the thoughts, our desires, our attitudes, and our action. And I have a bad attitude. It is a part of us that is in direct opposition to the Holy Spirit. The part of us that resists God's will and wants to satisfy our own will. Paul had the same temptation we do today. I can't imagine living without the Holy Spirit guiding us every day. Even with the Holy Spirit, we still mess up and have a hard time keeping only 10 commandments. I want to kind of read Romans 7, verse 17 through 19 from the Message. And this says it all in more simpler form. But I need something more. For if I know the law, but I can't keep it, and if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. I realize that I don't have what it takes. Sometime, something has gone wrong deep within me, and it gets the better of me every time. Have you ever struggled with sin and tried to just stop sinning? Paul said, what a wretched man am I. How did it make you feel? How do you feel inside when you sin and you keep making the same mistake? I always tell myself, how can God love me when I can't get it right and I keep messing up over and over again? Paul asked, who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Sin condemns us. It brings guilt and shame into our lives. It makes us feel unworthy and unlovable. It separates us from God and from each other. So, who can save us? The NIV, verse 25, the answer, thanks be to God who delivered me through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So then, I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law. But in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. We have to recognize, if we come to church on Sunday and we go home and we put God on the shelf until next Sunday, and we go out, go to work, try to do things in our own strength, we're going to find out we are living in the flesh that has no power. All it can do is cause chaos and cause you to sin. Or you can take God every day where you go and ask him to lead and guide you and help you not to mess up, to be compassionate to one another. I choose to be a slave of God. I want to serve him every day of my life. I want to be compassionate and loving to everyone. I cannot follow all the laws. I break them every day as far as the land of the law, speeding, and I have a rebellious spirit. Like a lot of people, they don't like to be told, you can't. Have you ever gone into a place and they got a rope around this thing and, oh, that's pretty. And they've got a big signpost that says, don't touch. Okay? You wouldn't even think about touching anything until you read the sign that said, don't touch. And you're like, okay, who are they? Nobody's going to know. It's a rebellious spirit. And we all have it in a sense or two, okay? Maybe not as bad as mine or worse than us others. But until we give 100% of ourselves to God, we're going to have some of that rebellious spirit in us. That's our nature. We all know living a Christian life is not easy. And we're going to make mistakes. We will always have trials, temptation, tough decisions to make. But a Christian's life is also filled with love, peace, hope, forgiveness, and a transforming power of the Holy Spirit. Plus, we get an extended family when we serve God. Amen. And that's a plus. We must have faith and trust God and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He died for our sins. Then we need to accept His Holy Spirit and forgiveness of our sins. It is free to all who believe in Him. But there is a problem. We don't want to give God all of our sins. There's some problems that we don't think are that bad. So we give Him 90% of them. Some we think like, oh, I cheat on the IRS doing my taxes. Everybody does it. What does it hurt? As long as we hold on to a sin, no matter how big or how small it is, it can hurt our relationship with God. It's like allowing a doctor to remove 90% of cancer. It will grow and grow until it destroys your body. So why not get rid of all at one time and start totally clean? Sin is not a minor flaw or a small mistake. It is a force that has the power to control us and lead us away from God and bring death into our lives. We all need God's grace, God's power, and God's Holy Spirit to help us every day. To live by law or try to keep all the laws, you're going to fail. And they did. And they got frustrated and they couldn't understand it. And if we're struggling every day constantly, we need to check our heart. It's a heart issue, because I know when I step out and I do something I shouldn't do, I can never say the devil made me do it, because I know the devil doesn't have control over me. Jesus defeated that. It is my decision to step out and be ugly or mean to somebody, or to do something that I know is wrong, to cheat on my taxes, or maybe leave 20 minutes from work when I know I'm supposed to stay there that extra 20 minutes, and I take that from my boss. It's not the major sins that's gonna catch us, because we've laid those down. It's a lot of the little things that we allow to creep into our lives that we think are so small that it doesn't matter. And who sees us? But God sees everything. And it does hurt your witness. We are under a microscope. We profess to be Christians and love God and love the Lord. And we're out there in the world professing that. They're watching us. And the moment we decide, well, I had a bad day, I'm going to go out and get drunk tonight and go out and just have a good old time and stuff, people are looking at them and say, they're no different than we are. We don't need God. We don't need the church. People need to see us. I need some water. People need to see Christians can go and have all kinds of fun without sinning. I was a really rebellious child, teenager. Okay, 3 years old on. really rebellious child. I thought I was having fun, but I've never had so much fun, so much joy. And once I came to Christ and gave my life to Him, do I still have a few issues I need to deal with? Yes, and God's helping me with them, with my rebellious attitude about wearing a seatbelt and stuff. He's helping me with that. I'm not perfect. No one's perfect. But I definitely have a better life today than before I knew God. And there's a difference between knowing of God and knowing God. I know of Reba McEntire. She's got a nice voice. I like her in the movies. I don't know her personally. A lot of people know of God, but they don't know God. If they knew God, they would know they could come to Him and tell Him their deepest, darkest secret issue that they're battling or fighting with. And He says, that's okay, my child. I'm going to help you. He sees it already. You're not hiding anything from Him. He sees it. He's just waiting for you to come to Him and give it all to Him to help you to keep from fighting the battle every day of how to live for Him. You're going to make mistakes, yeah. You're going to make mistakes. But the moment you make mistakes, that Holy Spirit's going to say, Kathy, you know that's wrong, and you're going to have to fix it. You're going to have to apologize or stop what you're doing now before it's too late and you can't take it back. We have to listen to the Holy Spirit. God's commandments that He has given us are holy and righteous, and they're only there for us to make us righteous and holy through His Son, Jesus Christ, to keep us from being hurt, from harm. He didn't tell you you couldn't go out and get drunk because He didn't want you to have friends. It was because He knew drunkenness led to you doing other things that would destroy you. You sew up the next day and say, oh man, what did I do last night? That was not me. That was not good. So instead of living a life like that, give it all to God. Ask Him to lead and guide you and to help you in your daily walk with Him.